Obviously, preaching on a week that we've had is not something Michael and I have prepared for. There was no pandemic class in either of the seminaries we went to. And if it was ever mentioned, I either slept through that class or skipped it. And so this week we've been scrambling, as everyone has, to try and figure out what is the right word to give, to hear in this very strange season that we all find ourselves in. And it felt like not the right choice to stick with Lent. We've been having our Lenten season, but this scenario that we're in has so much Lent in it naturally that we thought to add to that is probably not what we needed to do. So Michael and I have been talking about texts, and the one that we've selected is in the Gospel of Luke. This is a familiar story, but I think it does take on new meaning in these days. It's the story of the disciples and Jesus going somewhere and an anxiety that happens along the way. So this is the Gospel of Luke. We are in the 18th chapter. We're in the 8th chapter, verses 22 through 25. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got in the boat and they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a squall came down upon the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. And the disciples went and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And he got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Then he asked the disciples, "Where is your faith?" In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He even commands the winds and the water, and they obey him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So this has been said many times here, even as we've talked about the offering and invitations to give as Christians. We try to remind ourselves regularly of the many blessings that God has given us. We try to be people who are defined by the gift, by the grace that was given to us in Christ. And I think sometimes that task is particularly difficult because of all of the blessings that we easily take for granted. And things like the cars that we get into that bring us to church, the homes that we live in, the people that we're with, these things are things that on a normal schedule, I think we often just don't even have awareness that they are a blessing and a gift from God. And a thing that's happened in the last week and a half, has been each and every new change in our lives and in our schedules is an invitation for us to see all of the things that get stripped away, and in them, the things that we've taken for granted for a really long time. Rochelle and I were talking just the other night about how we had always assumed that going to teach was something that we could do, or giving somebody a high five when they did something well, or the idea that you just go to the store and you pick up some butterscotch chips because you're making fudge. The stuff that you might have taken for granted as being a thing that's easy, as a thing that is just an average everyday thing, might not feel that way anymore. And I think we see something like that as we look at our relational connections. This idea of social distancing has been thrown about a lot. It's in the news, and there's articles coming across social media feeds. This idea of staying physically separate from other people as a way of trying to curb the spread of the virus. But what's interesting about that from the perspective of people who spend a significant amount of time thinking about relationships, and not just relationships as in social relationships, but spiritual relationships, thinking about how does a congregation join together in prayer, and how do we share things that matter, I think the thing that this has done is it's shown me in just significant ways how I've taken for granted the ability to get together and to be church together. And the disciples were in the boat with Jesus trying to get across the lake. And Jesus wasn't that far away. It couldn't have been that big of a boat. And yet when the storm came, when circumstances changed, when things weren't the way that the disciples were used to them being, the storm was not just outside them, but lived within them. They literally had Jesus feet away from them, sleeping. Jesus wasn't afraid of the storm. He wasn't afraid of the things that were going on. And yet as the disciples saw this disturbance within their own hearts, they in that moment felt emotionally and spiritually separate from Jesus, who was the creator and redeemer of all things. The invitation that I think comes to us this day is to remember that as relationships begin to become harder to have in the same physical space, we must be reminded of the one who is literally with us in our boats. The one who's just feet away from us, who is as close to us as our own breath. Jesus has not left us. He's here. He's with us. In fact, as Christians, we believe he's the power of his Spirit connects us even across distance and time. So in a moment in which fear and anxiety and even a new kind of disconnection is our momentary norm, I think one of the messages that comes to us from this text is to be reminded that there is one person who can never be socially distanced from us. He is with you. He is not with you in an abstract sort of out there sense. Jesus is with you. He is in your boat, and he's as close to you as your very soul. So friends, let us be reminded, even as our relationships are momentarily distanced, of the Creator who is drawn near to us.
So if you're listening to this on the radio, you're watching this at home on the computer or the television, you know the storm is upon us. Things have changed. We've seen people who aren't able to do funeral services. We've seen people who aren't able to have people gather with them at the hospital facing surgery or tests. These are difficult times. These are new times, and they're scary times. And it is worth noting that in the gospel, it doesn't say that the disciples thought they were in danger. It says, Luke tells us, they were in danger. There were waves coming. That storm was very real, and it was very present. And Luke then goes on to say that what brings stillness in that moment is Jesus. It's even more dramatic in some of the other versions of the story where it says Jesus stands and he commands the storm to be still. And our hope, certainly, our prayer and the prayers of those throughout the world who follow Christ and who offer those prayers is that this storm will be stilled, that these things, these quarantines, these cases, that the management will happen, that all of those things we'll come to a point where there's some calm and quiet and we restore life to normal. In the meantime, the storms and the fears are real. And some of you are feeling them deeply. Some of you are facing that kind of anxiety every day, watching the news, worried about the statistics, trying to figure out how to make it work. Some of that's financial, some of it's physical, some of it's health related, but those are real struggles. And the thing that I think is helpful, at least the thing that I think I see in this text, is that moment when Jesus stands and he looks out at the waves and the wind and the rain, and he says, "Be still," is not just a word to nature. It's a word to the disciples. He's not simply commanding the storm. He's inviting his followers to that calm. And we don't know when this storm will calm, but in the midst of it, we hear this invitation, "Be still. be at rest. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. It's been suggested that faith and fear are on a balance beam, and that the more we have of one, the less we have of the other. Our task in these moments is to open ourselves to that promise of peace, of stillness. Yes, there is a storm, but the one we follow, the one who is with us, is above it. And he invites us, even in the midst of it, to know peace, his own peace.
In a moment in which fear drives our lives, we are tempted to disconnect from one another. I think even that word, social distancing, is dangerous, because what is supposed to be a medical idea of keeping our bodies in different places so that we don't spread sickness so quickly becomes a spiritual temptation to distance ourselves from people. In other words, to think of people as the threat, to think of my neighbor as my enemy. And in that moment, we might be tempted to not live into the peace of Christ, to recognize that the God who is within us is greater than the storm outside of us. This coming week, we recognize that there's no way of predicting what the next headlines are going to be. There's not even predicting what the next pronouncement is going to be, what the next organizational statement is going to be. What we know is that as Christians, the task that we will all have in this coming week is to practice awareness of the living Christ within us and to invite him to create spirits of peace, because it is only with that spirit that we can be connected with one another as a real body of Christ, even when we can't gather together in physical presence. So this is our challenge to you. This is our challenge to your families. We would love for you this week to be thinking about how you might capture, literally, take a picture of moments of connection, moments in which you are inviting Christ as a family, as an individual, to bind you with other people in faith and hope and living into that spirit of peace. Simply, if you are getting together, you as a family are eating a meal together, maybe you're playing a game, maybe you're reading a book that connects you with someone who's important to you, maybe you're having a video chat with a family person who you haven't been able to see recently. Whatever that is, whatever that moment for you captures human connection in a moment of distancing, take a picture of it. Send it to the same phone number that you are texting your pictures of where you're worshiping today. We want to see how you're connecting in that peace of Christ. And in that, we are practicing faith in a moment of fear.
Amen.